Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find all the information, all the documentation, high quality, low quality, audio, video, and so much more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, it's the morning after here in America, and as everyone's kind of waking up and going, oh, everything's generally the same. I invested all my emotions into this big show, but ultimately it was just that, a big show. Obamasiah gets four more years of fronting for the empire. Obama wins new term as electoral advantage holds. Barack Hussein Obama was reelected president of the United States on Tuesday, overcoming powerful economic headwinds, a lockstep resistance to his agenda by Republicans in Congress, and an unprecedented torrent of advertising as a divided nation voted to give him more time. In defeating Mitt Romney, the president carried Colorado, Iowa, Ohio, New Hampshire, Virginia, and Wisconsin, a near sweep of the battleground states, and was holding the narrow advantage in the always important Florida. The path to victory for Romney narrowed as the night wore along, and with Mr. Obama winning at least 303 electoral votes. I've often joked, James, this is now my second presidential election season here on the West Coast, and I kind of enjoy how quickly it's over because we're earlier here in the times, whereas on the East Coast, you had to want to stay up late to see the results. But here on the West Coast, it's like, oh, damn, it's 8 o'clock. It's over. It's kind of nice. Big disappointments, I think, on some of the social moves. Prop 37, which, James, we've discussed, I think, here as well as on our old Food World Order episodes. Prop 37 narrowly defeated by corporate millions and deceptive ads, and that would be the California prop to label genetically modified organisms in the face of millions and millions and millions spent by Monsanto and Dow. Essentially, the folks ruining everything also have the money to lie to everyone about it. So fishermen, environmentalists, consumer advocates were all disappointed but not surprised that Prop 37 was defeated. However, those folks are making the moves to go work on a ton of other states to try and get labeling of genetically modified organisms to pass in other states, which, James, would put us, you know, the United States along the lines of China and Europe and Japan and all the other countries and nations who label genetically modified organisms. Meanwhile, Colorado and Washington pass marijuana legalization, but here in Oregon, we voted it down. And it, on the one hand, kind of mystifies me, but on the other hand, I kind of think, I live here in the city in Portland, and I think we tend to think Portland is Oregon, but really Portland is maybe the California of Oregon, whereas we, you know, oh, we think, well, we're also liberal and progressive here, but the rest of the state, perhaps not so much. And of course, there were gay marriage amendments and mandates and all of those other things. But ultimately, James, as Jack Blood said last night and on Ground Zero, last night, we had Jack Blood on of Deadline Live. We had Doug Owen from Blacklisted News and other folks on our kind of Ground Zero presidential selection special. Jack Blood really put it best when said, you know, I wish I could get behind, you know, the weed legalization and gay marriage and all those things. But ultimately, why are we always going to Big Daddy government begging for permission to do things that ultimately, if we were in a free country like we claim that we are, consenting adults would be able to do as they wish as sovereign citizens, instead of always going, oh, please, may I get married to who I want? Oh, please, may I eat and ingest what I choose to? Please, sir, may I have another? So, James, we've said it time and time again. We're either in a free country or we're not. What's nauseating presidential?
That is the point, isn't it? I mean, we are basically political children until we choose to grow up and start to realize that we don't always have to ask a mommy and daddy government for permission. And once people get out of that mindset that they're constantly have to wait for the approval of mommy and daddy government to do anything, then I think we might actually start growing up. And does anyone believe that anything fundamentally has changed in Washington State, for example, now that suddenly, well, now it's legal, now it's ethical to smoke this substance substance where it wasn't before, because 50% plus one have decided that it's so. It's just so on its face ridiculous and so far detached from anything resembling any basic moral rules or anything like that. I mean, it has nothing to do with that. It's just about the spectacle of the voting. And once people get off of that and start realizing that that our world should not be governed by those rules, we can start exploring other ways of doing this and hopefully come to a more sane and rational way of basically ordering our society.
Because I think you've even said, or perhaps even guests on your show have said, you know, it's, we don't not kill people because, oh, well, there's a law against it. We don't do it because we know it's not right. It's not fundamentally correct with the world. James, our second story gets to what really goes on behind the scenes. And again, those are, it's like if you had a bender, like as if last night was, say, you know, a long bender at the bar. You wake up the next morning and go, damn, how much money did I spend? Gold at two-week high on Obama win. Meanwhile, the focus is on the fiscal cliff as Reuters notes that gold bounced to its highest in 2 weeks on Wednesday as President Barack Obama's reelection curbed the dollar, with focus on expectations for continued relaxed U.S. monetary policy and resolving the so-called fiscal cliff. Meanwhile, James, from CNS News, getting into this fiscal cliff, Treasury quietly warns, expect debt limit to be reached near the end of 2012, and we are nearing the end of 2012. The U.S. Treasury quietly warned at the end of a statement issued last Wednesday that it expects the federal government to hit its legal debt limit before the end of the year, which means before the new Congress is even seated, and that extraordinary measures will be needed before then to keep the government fully funded into the early part of 2013. On August 2nd, 2011, Obama signed a deal he had negotiated with congressional leaders to increase the debt limit of the federal government by $2.4 trillion. But now, after only 15 months, almost all that borrowing authority has been exhausted. Although Treasury revealed in its statement on Wednesday, that's today, November 7th here in the States, that it was likely to hit the debt limit by the end of the year, Treasury Secretary Geithner failed to respond to a letter that Senate Finance Ranking Member Orrin Hatch and Senate Budget Ranking Member Jeff Sessions sent to him on October 15th, demanding that he notify them by November 1st as to what he believes will be the exact date the Treasury will hit the debt limit and the date he expects to begin using extraordinary measures to avoid it. Now, James, actually, I think I misspoke. The Wednesday they're referring to is the previous Wednesday, Halloween. So, James, fiscal cliff?
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Well, it's interesting how the markets don't lie and how they'll reveal the underlying truths behind all of the crap and rhetoric that we've heard over the past, several months now in this election campaign. And yes, the dollar took a tumble. Gold is rising. Basically, this is in response to the fact that Obama being locked in for another 4 years basically means Bernanke is going to get another green light when he comes up for a reappointment next year. And of course, Bernanke and the Fed and staying the course in all of that just means that the dollar will continue to be inflated away to nothing as they keep pumping out billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions a month in all of this fake bailout money and all of that, all the rest of that status quo. So it is interesting to watch what's going to happen with the fiscal cliff, the $600 billion in tax cuts and spending cuts and tax increases that's going to kick in January 1st, 2013. And now also the debt limit, just another headache to add to the pile of woes and miseries on the American economy. So I am not looking forward to this next few months. It's going to be some incredible wrangling going on. All sorts of political shenanigans are going to be played with this lame duck Congress, and we'll see what happens. But I don't like the sound of extraordinary measures that might be possible with this fiscal cliff and debt limit scenario. So we'll keep our eye on that for sure.
Yeah, extraordinary measures. That could mean essentially anything. So, James, one question is that when they say the continued relaxed U.S. monetary policy, that essentially means letting the private run-for-profit Federal Reserve do whatever it wants, right?
Exactly, like the $40 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities it's currently buying and the Operation Twist and all of the other different plans and schemes they have for basically creating money out of nothing every month.
And that's the thing that drove me insane watching the election campaign season, is looking at these two front men acting like they're not the ones who, if not themselves personally, but in the parties they front for and in essentially who really pays their bills, who backs them, as if they're not the ones responsible for the destruction of the U.S. economy, for shipping jobs overseas, for not letting us, you know, innovate and do amazing new things, as if they're not part of the problem. The whole thing is a big charade to try and trick people. And it's all about the cult of personalities there.
Yeah, it's just about finding the alpha male that we can get behind and fling poo at the other people. So that's basically what electoral politics is.
And to really who's going to be a better salesman of the New World Order agenda. And as of now, it's still Obama is the better salesman of this New World Order agenda, whereas most people think someone like Romney, he's a little too slick. I think he's a little too much one of those rich guys, and I don't like that. But Obama, he really sells me on it. So, James, our third and final story transitions quite well in just talking about this, you know, spectacle. China's power transfer, this once-in-a-decade event, infighting and spectacle coming soon. China's ruling Communist Party opens a Congress Thursday, that's tomorrow, to usher in a new group of younger leaders faced with the challenging tasks of righting a flagging economy and meeting public calls for a better government. You could just replace some of the nouns in there and it would be America. The week-long Congress is the start of a carefully choreographed but still fraught power transfer in which President Hu Jintao and most of the senior leadership will begin to relinquish office. Vice President Xi Jinping, the anointed heir for the past 5 years, came a step closer to power Wednesday, being named the Congress's Secretary General at a preparatory meeting. Meeting in the Great Hall of the People, the Congress seems drawn from another time. It's a public gathering of 2,200-plus delegates drawn from the 82-million-member party, where the real deal-making is done by a few dozen power brokers behind the scenes, even as China is ever more connected to the world through trade and through the internet. Now, furthermore, on this transfer of power, China turns to police and cab drivers to enforce orderly transition in power. And, of course, the flurry of propaganda as news and red banner slogans and the police crackdowns. That's how it goes. It's again, it's a little more ham-fisted and ugly in China, but as if we didn't just have slogans and propaganda as news and, yes, police crackdowns. That's what happens if you're a third-party candidate and want to get into the fixed debates in America. You'll get arrested and you'll get thrown out. Other news surrounding this to flesh more of the story out for you, and again, don't take our word for any of this. We'll provide all the documentation and sources for you. Global Post reporting Chinese awaiting new leadership envy U.S. democracy, and that is kind of an interesting read. And The Atlantic gets into the key players in China's power transition inside the Gang of Seven, James.
Well, that's right. For people who don't know about these Chinese elections and how they work, it's actually quite a fascinating system. So I hope people will go and check that out. I just did a radio program talking about this Chinese leadership transition, what's involved with it, Corbett Report Radio number 253. So you can check that out for more of the details. But it is a bizarre process. And it struck me just how much like the American selection process or the Canadian selection process or, you know, fill in your Western democracy selection. Election process, it is really just a mirror image of all of that, with the basically one party. Well, you know, the Republicrats are basically one party, and it's basically decided on beforehand in closed door sessions. So, you know, no real change there. That's pretty much you know, how Bilderberg or whoever selects who will be the acceptable candidates for the next round of selections. It's actually quite a parallel system. The only difference is that the Chinese people know that their vote has absolutely no significance whatsoever, whereas unfortunately, a lot of the people there in the United States still believe that they're somehow voting on something of significance when they choose between Coke and Pepsi. So absolutely, it's a fascinating process, and I hope people will check more into it. And this will really, I guess, determine the future of the next 10 years of Chinese politics and the economy. So there are quite a few things that are riding on this, but that's why I hope people will at least start checking into Xi Jinping and who he is and the princeling faction within the Politburo and what that is. And there's some good notes also in the Corbett Report Radio I did yesterday, so I hope people check that out.
All right, James, just one quick note. It'll be too late for folks watching this to have caught it, but they can go check out the archives. You may know I'm now the producer of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. And tonight, actually, we've got Tyrell Ventura, the producer of Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura, because tonight's season 3 premiere actually features Clyde Lewis. So if folks want to follow some of the work Media Monarchy's been doing, of course, we still update all the sites, Media Monarchy, Cyberspace War, Food World Order. We even do the music podcast and so many other things. So yeah, MediaMonarchy.com is the flagship site for all of that and links to so much more.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.